Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the New Day Show. I am the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I'm so very excited about today's show because I have two amazing guests for you. And I am just hoping that you'll be able to stick around for both episodes. Before I bring our first guest on this morning, I want to remind the listeners that the chat room is up and running, and you are invited to be a participant there. And also, I would love for you to call in with your questions. And number for that is 646-915-8166. And whenever you have a question, you just call right in. You will not need to wait for any specific time. So, again, the number is 646-915-8166. And just go ahead, tweet it, Facebook it, send it out to your friends and relatives, because these two episodes today, you will not want them to miss. And if for any reason they are at work and they cannot listen in, invite them to go back later and catch the episodes on demand. So today's show is just going to be an amazing show. I am broadcasting out of New Milford this morning, and we are experiencing an amazing, beautiful, sunny morning. And we are still happy for that because last night I went into Costco's. I saw Christmas trees outside and inside, and I said, what's going on here? So when I woke up this morning and saw the sunshine, I was very happy. So again, thank you for joining us this morning, because I know you could have been anywhere else and you made the decision to tune in. So I am super excited about that. Well, our first guest this morning is coming to us from the I think Fort Lauderdale area. Orlando area. And he is no stranger to the people who are listening in Connecticut. He is one of our beloved mentor and leader. He's an economic development strategist, and he is just such an amazing, passionate person when it comes to entrepreneurship and small business owner. And I'm speaking of none other than Mr. Harlan Henry. Harlan, good morning.
Well, good morning, and happy day to you. Happy hump day.
Thank you so much. You know, we miss you here in Connecticut. We just miss you. It's not the same without Harlan.
Well, thank you. It's so nice to hear that. I miss all my friends and colleagues in Connecticut, too.
Yes. But we know that you hit the ground down there running, and later on we are going to be talking about a brand new program that you have created, developed, and implemented since you got there. But before we get into all that good stuff, who is Harlan Henry, and how did his humble beginning started?
Well, you know, thank you again for having me on the show, Daphne. Harlan Henry is this kid from Orville's Antigua in the Caribbean. Grew up in the small area of Antigua called Orville's that has produced such incredible people like Sir Vivian Richards, the best cricketer in the world, and so many more. And I still have an amazing family. My dad, who is an entrepreneur, is still working at 85. My mom, also an entrepreneur, who is still working at 82. My aunts, uncles, all of them, their own entrepreneurs, and quite interestingly, in all different types of businesses. So the funny thing is that I grew up in entrepreneurship. So becoming an entrepreneur was not anything new to me. As a matter of fact, I probably was the last person in my family to actually launch out on my own. So now, since I left Connecticut and came to Orlando, I decided, why should I go looking for a job when I need to start in that same entrepreneurship vein? So here's where I am.
Amazing. Because, you know, people who know you, Harlan, know that you conduct entrepreneurship with such passion and such comfort and such ease. And now I know the reason why. You grew up. You were born in entrepreneurship and you grew up in it. So for you, it is part of life.
It really is, and you know, I look back and from the time I knew myself, every single member of my family around me had their own business, and as I said, my dad at 85 still goes into his office at 7 o'clock in the morning, running his own business.
And you know, this is such an encouragement for somebody who is listening, regardless of what part of the world they are, because a lot of people are focusing right now on the challenging times that we are experiencing in America. And we are here to tell them, and I know for many years you have taught this to small business people and entrepreneurs. Follow your heart. Find what it is you are good at and follow that. Because there's always other people who can encourage you to know that it's not a get-rich-quick thing. But it's a thing that so long as you follow your heart, it will propel you to great achievement and great success. And this is what is happening to your father. 80, he's still going in with passion.
Oh, absolutely. And you talk about me having passion. This is where it comes from, and it comes naturally. Here's a man that I can still call. I can still pick up the phone and call and say, Dad, what do you think about this? You know, and I would get a complete entrepreneurial factoid on why it should be done and how it should be done. And just within what time period, and he loves setting goals and time periods for things to be done.
Exactly. Benchmarks are important because people, you know, a lot of individuals who are successful in their task, Harlan, when they tell the stories, they oftentimes tell the beginning and the end, and there is a lot of things that in the middle that they normally don't share and don't talk about, and this is why a lot of people throw the towel in in the early beginnings because they do not have the endurance to go to the end because somebody only told them the beginning and the end.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
You know? So we just want to just thank you, Father, for the ground and the solid foundation that He have placed in you, and He is still sustaining and maintaining until today so that we all can reap the benefit of what He instilled in you. And we want to thank you for that.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the revolution that you created at the Secretary of State when you were here. I had it on my mind to talk to you about what led you to entrepreneurship, but you just covered it so well, we don't need to go there. But we know that you brought the business showcase to Connecticut. That was something you created when you went to the Secretary of State, and you just put it to a new plateau. Let us talk about that, Harlan.
Sure. Well, you know, I have a lot of people to thank. When I started at the Secretary of State's office in 1999, and Secretary Bicewicz gave me the opportunity to serve in her office as the Director of Community Outreach, I had an opportunity to go around the state and look at what was happening with small businesses. Well, having a business background and that entrepreneurship spirit that we talked about, I had the opportunity to just create something that would really assist these people who I was continuing to encounter on a daily basis. So when I talked to Secretary Bicewicz about it, she too, of course, coming from a business background where she was a business attorney, her father is a businessman, her husband is also a businessman, and we talked extensively about how we can help people in a humane way and a direct way. And she gave me the green light to go ahead and create something that will assist people across the state. I created a proposal, and within a few months, we were able to talk to a number of groups and organizations about how we can create a program, a comprehensive program, whereby we will bring in a number of players. And when I say players, I'm talking about creating what is now common as a public-private academic consortium. Really and truly, to be quite honest with you, when we started that project, there were a lot of people who boo-hooed it. They said that federal agencies don't work with state agencies. State agencies don't work together. The chambers are not going to help, and there was a lot of mistrust about the system, and that a lot of people thought it was political and all of that. Well, you know, the thing is that again, being of an entrepreneurial spirit, I had to stick with the project because I knew on a one-on-one basis, whenever I talked to someone, they were begging, please help us. Do something that will help my business. There is just too much talk out there. There are all types of organizations out there that claim they will help, but nobody really actually comes out to physically assist and bring documents and show documents and show you how to do things. They just point you in some sort of direction and say, go ahead and do it. Well, you know, that really doesn't help. So we wanted to do a couple of points. One, get direct help for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Two, those who were in business for a while and they wanted to sustain their business, give them an opportunity to interact with other business owners. And
mm-hmm.
three, for businesses, for all these businesses that were out there that were small, one-person, two-person businesses that
mm-hmm.
didn't have the opportunity like a big business to do outreach and to do the networking and so on that on a regular basis, we wanted
mm-hmm.
to give them that opportunity to interact with each other. And again, and fourthly, to bring quality and dynamic programming to these people so that
mm-hmm.
they would learn from the best and learn from directly from
mm-hmm.
agency representatives that will support them in a direct
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself started the what we now know as the Connecticut Small and Minority Business Showcase. And again, the other thing is that a lot of people said, why small and minority? Why are you calling small and minority? Now we see. Even the federal agencies now are calling some of their programs small and minority.
And
the outreach to these underserved small businesses as something that people are now looking at. But to go
That's
back
right.
to what we did and the core of what we did, when we started the first showcase in 2000, we had more small businesses coming to the event to showcase their business. And for those entrepreneurs or would-be entrepreneurs who wanted to understand how to do business, where to go, how to start a business, how to operate a business, all of those people came out, and so we had an overwhelming support for the first event. So we know that we had something going. And basically,
right.
for your listeners, so that they understand what the showcase really is, it basically is an expo, but it's an upside-down expo. And I say upside-down
mm-hmm.
expo because most expos, everybody knows that the big companies are the ones that are on show. In for
mm-hmm.
the model that we produced as the Connecticut Small and Minority Business Showcase is that we had the small businesses, they were the ones who had the opportunity to showcase their business. Those were the ones who were focused on. Those are the
mm-hmm.
ones who we gave exposure to. And the big businesses
mm-hmm.
were the ones who came in to look at them and also to sponsor and support the event. So
that's
why when I say it's an upside down type of expo, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes. And the thing that a lot of people in high offices do not understand is the impact when you go to the people at the grassroots. When you were developing this this program, you went to the people. You knew what was needed. You weren't just sitting in your office and reading the manual and said, this may work. The people told you. So you had their support or not. You had the support of the people.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, the people were hungry for that. Harlan, if you could... If you would pick out five of the success stories up to the time when you leave, when you left the Secretary of State a few months ago, if as you look back over the beginning of the showcase and when you left it, if you would pick out five success stories, which ones would those be?
Well, let me start with you. I met you. How is that?
We met. Yes.
And let's not take that frivolously because the thing is that I met so many important people, and the important people to me were people who who didn't know anything about starting and operating a business, but who mm-hmm. got all of the support that we provided mm-hmm. to have them start a business and maintain the business, sustain the business, and went mm-hmm. on to be successful. And mm-hmm. One of the most important, the highest point right now in terms of the successes of all of those was Dori DiCarlo from the S1 bags, the clear bags, who, mm-hmm. As you know, she participated in the showcases mm-hmm. because to get the exposure, and then she also participated in the elevator pitch contest. She won the elevator pitch mm-hmm. contest. Then she went mm-hmm. on to MSNBC to be appearing on MSNBC because she won the contest. And mm-hmm. now she is displaying her bags at a fair in Japan. Now,
in Japan, yep.
In Japan, you know, and so all of these types of things come from just the start of the showcase. We have people who there was this one woman who wanted to start a cosmetology salon
line,
and mm-hmm. and she didn't know what to do, where to go. We were able to help her find the place. We were able to help her get started, get up and running, and try to continue supporting her. We had situations where our partners, like Microsoft, were able to support some of our initiatives by helping some of the small businesses that we have been supporting, and Black Enterprise Magazine, who mm-hmm, was also mm-hmm. a very big supporter of the programming that we were producing. They mm-hmm. also supported a lot of the programs, and not only the programs but the individuals, because mm-hmm. Because they saw the impact that we were making for all of these with all of these small businesses. Yes, and it continues.
Yes. It continues. And you know, Harlan, again, I'll say that we want to just thank you for believing in the little people, because the little people are the ones that's overshadowed. And to find someone who really believes in us and want to commit and dedicate to us speaks volume about the person you are. And again, I applaud you on behalf of the hundreds of entrepreneurs and small business people in the state of Connecticut. Now, okay. There is so many good things that you have done, and I know we would be talking for 6 months and don't cover them all. So we want to just fast forward now to a program called Localization.
Yes. Well, you know, and just adding on to to what I did in Connecticut, and just expanding mm-hmm. on that. As I said, you know, I like the helping small businesses, and mm-hmm. when we look at communities and we look at the economic situation today, where small communities are hurting, and mm-hmm. what has happened is that business people don't get the support from local organizations. They don't get the support from government at any level, for the most part. My localization concept is basically simple: to encourage small businesses to be infused with public, private, faith-based, academic support. What all that means is that local government, faith-based communities, that is the churches and all of those,
mm-hmm.
and small government, and the consumers need to look at their neighborhood stores. They need to look at their neighborhood retailers. They need to look at spending their monies locally, so that by doing that, they're helping to support the infrastructure of the community that they live in. Rather than going out to the big box stores, rather than going out to the big malls to spend their dollars whenever they're looking to buy something, look within your neighborhood first. And what happens is that by doing that, you're actually supporting your own small business people, and which is very important. And once that happens, you will also have your government, whether it be the municipal government or the state government, or even your small town mayors and community governments. They need to see that and encourage that, so that you can have the dollars circulating within that small community. And that small community, you will be surprised how flourishing that can become and how thriving mm-hmm. that can become, because that encourages additional dollars additional investment dollars, not only probably from the local community, but from outside communities, and then the communities build. That is how communities are built. And that's the localization concept, whereby we have to be able to spend within the area, do business within the area that we live in and we work in.
Mm-hmm. I love it, Harlan, and I know the people who are categorized as mom and pop businesses. I know they are loving this concept, because too often when you see they are breaking ground for large stores to come in, those are the people who begin to get nervous, because they are saying, we are going to be losing business. But if we, the citizens, decide that we are supporting our own, they will not lose business. So it takes a commitment on each of our parts, knowing that you and I, we are in this community together. The success and the advancement of this community is dependent solely on you and I. So this is an amazing, amazing concept. The thing that, Harlan, that comes immediately to my mind is that the rural towns will probably embrace this. How do you see the larger cities enforcing is not the right word, but embracing and helping this concept to take off?
Well, you know, the thing is that it is happening already, because if you look at the way they're building these communities now, they're building these communities on basically the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're building the communities, they're building retail stores, they're building different type and encouraging things like farmers markets, farmers markets and so on. Those are the types of things that help people to stay within their community and buy from each other.
Some water.
Yeah. But the thing is that what is important is that people realize that if they continue to do business outside of their community on a large scale, that their communities are going to disintegrate. And so in terms of the urban communities that are being built now. They're building it. They're building them on the same concept. And
that's right.
And what is happening is that there are some local governments who are beginning to embrace that and actually putting money into those communities
mm-hmm.
to help support them, because they see what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
All of these big companies and big box stores that they built outside in outside communities and expected, gave them all of these tax credits and so on, and expected that they would hire people. What they have done is laid off people.
That's right.
All
right,
of these people
come in.
Exactly. All of these people, because they didn't reach, they didn't make reach their goals or whatever, they're laying off people.
Right.
So what is left now is that people are coming back into their own communities and
mm-hmm.
trying to rebuild those by starting up their own businesses. And so that's where we need to continue to help support them.
That's true. As you know, I also have a local LGBTQ, and that's one of the things I am planning to do is that next summer, I had planned it for this summer, and two of my main cameramen, they weren't experiencing good health. But I want to go out to our local farmers and talk to them right where they are and come back and air it to the citizens to support locally grown foods, you know. Where I live here in Connecticut, Ireland, I can serve myself to the vegetables, the fruits, and everything is just locally grown. Nobody is there to serve me. It is all there. You serve yourself, you pay, and you move on. And you eat that food, or when you go to the market, it's such a difference when you taste that food, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Being the child of a farmer, and I can so appreciate that, because I remember growing up in Jamaica, everything was, first we did not have a refrigerator, so we couldn't refrigerate. Everything was freshly picked or freshly harvested and then go to the table. So I know what you're talking about. That is so important, and we have to do that for a healthier life.
Right,
so again,
right.
We thank you for that. Harlan,
right.
Let's talk about SunBiz.
Yes, SunBiz Showcase Alliance was started when I moved here from Connecticut. I decided that I would go into business on my own, as I said before, and
mm-hmm.
and start a program, and of course, pretty much a movement. And this movement
mm-hmm.
encompasses a lot of things. Most importantly, I am operating as an economic development strategist. And basically,
mm-hmm.
that means that I am able to continue the work that I started in Connecticut. However, I'm doing this under the auspices of my own business. So it's
mm-hmm.
It's a private business, of course, and not
mm-hmm.
not attached to to government as
right.
I was in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
So
mm-hmm.
I have been working with nonprofit organizations. I
mm-hmm.
I'm working with faith-based organizations and
mm-hmm.
And individual businesses to help them build capacity. And I operate pretty much as a business advisor. So
mm-hmm.
With those individual businesses that I work with, I am advising them on in a holistic way, basically marketing, some strategies in helping them to basically survive this economy. And
mm-hmm.
for faith-based and nonprofit organizations, I'm working with them to get some of the stimulus dollars to support their programming.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, there's a lot of funding that has dried up over the past
mm-hmm.
year for one reason or other. But there is a lot of money out there either through the stimulus package and other grants that are out there whereby nonprofit organizations, faith-based organizations, and even some for-profit organizations can tap into. So I have been doing a lot of research and spending my time doing a lot of research and helping some of those small businesses and nonprofit organizations to identify some of those possible grants and funding opportunities. I must tell you that I'm looking for grant writers. So if there's any anyone out there who is a qualified grant writer, I would love to talk with them, because that's not something that I plan to do. However, what I do, I identify the grants, and I provide it to the institution. They decide whether they want to apply for it or not. But in some cases, they don't have, there's not a grant writer available. So so I'm looking for grant writers to support what I'm doing.
Right. Well, I know a lady that I'm going to send, and you probably know her too. She's up from the Hartford area. And I'm going to shoot her an email to contact you, because I have not used her service. I was told she's a very efficient grant person. She's a grant writer that gets grant. And
That's
important.
Yeah.
That's important. So I'll contact you both. Now, is your service just for the people in your region, or it is nationally?
Nationally. Well, you know, it's good that you asked that question, because I tell you, most of my clients are from Connecticut.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So, you know, the people, a lot of people that I've been working with are out of Connecticut. So the good thing about my business is that I can work remotely, of course, and and so I talk a lot to people in Connecticut or even on the West Coast.
Wonderful.
Yes. So, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
My website.
Hello.
Well, a lot of people,
yes,
you know, people can go to my website, which is www.sunbizshowcasealliance.com. That's www.sunbizshowcasealliance.com, and they can see some of the things that we're able to assist with.
Good. Is that your only contact information? Because that was going to be my next recommendation, to go ahead and give out your contact information so people know how to get in touch with you.
Right. The website is certainly the primary place to get in touch with me. My telephone number, they can reach me at 239-243-9701. And my email is Harland, H-A-R-L-A-N-D, at sunbizshowcasealliance.com. And all of that is on my website, so they can just go to the website, and right on the front page, they can either call me from there, or they can email me, they can be in contact with me, and so I can support whatever it is that they're doing.
And remember, go get some water. Your throat is running dry.
Yes.
I can hear that.
Yes.
So get you some water. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we have 20 minutes remaining in this episode, Harland.
Yeah.
And I want to remind the listeners that the call-in number is 646-915-8166. And that's the number where you can call in to ask any questions of Mr. Harland Henry. And Harland, I know that you have experiences with entrepreneurs, small business owners, from they just have the idea.
Yes.
And I know you know everything about them. If you would give a checklist to the listeners, of some of the pitfalls that prevent them from really catapulting to success. What would that look like?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, because let's take a look at a person who is now probably downsized or outsized or whatever, and they're thinking of what they need to do. And a lot of people who have been in any kind of business, whatever business that they have worked in, for 5 or 10 years at least, have some expertise. And whatever that expertise is, it could be, even if it's filing or being on the computer using Microsoft Office products, or if they have been doing accounting or anything like that, they can actually be a consultant.
That's right.
And they can start a business as a consultant to somebody. Start with someone in your neighborhood, or start with someone even in your own family that needs some consulting services. You can be an expert in your own field. Now, I believe very much in the internet and all the possibilities that it has for us. So I would say to that person to start blogging. Start blogging out there about the things that you would that you're expert in, because that actually puts you in a position and online and out there as an expert in your field. Now, in terms of formally setting up a business, we need to make sure that the business that you're setting up is licensed. If there is a license for it, you need to go and get a license. Then you simultaneously, you also need to make sure that you have a business plan. And the business plan is very, very important, because it becomes a roadmap for wherever you're going to go with the business, when you're going to start, what you're going to do with it, and as a matter of fact, most importantly, you know, when you're going to end this business anyway. Is it going to continue forever, or are you going to morph the business into something else, or grow it into something else? Those are things that you have to think about. And quite frankly, if you think about them and you need help, there are organizations out there like SCORE that will be able to help walk you through. And you have to insist that you would like them to walk you through some of these, especially your business plan. You also need to have within the business plan a financial plan and a marketing plan. So a lot of these types of business really don't cost anything to start up. So I hear a lot of people say, you know, I don't have any money to start a business. Well, you know, for the most part, some of these types of businesses, startup businesses, will cost you is maybe $150. And where does the $150 go? The $150 probably will go to a license, or in addition to that, if you don't have internet access, probably for the internet access service. But most cities that you're in, they may require some sort of license for you to operate a business, whether it's a home-based business or not. You want to make sure that you clear that right up front. Then, in terms of the business itself, then you have to start advertising. I love advertising word of mouth. I love word of mouth. So in terms of me saying that it's not going to cost you anything. It really shouldn't cost you anything but chattering.
Relationships.
That's right. You start exactly, and I was about to make that point. Start building relationships. Start with the people that you know. Start with the people around you. Get online. Start joining some of these social networks. Social networks are not necessarily the social networks like you and I knew them before. Social networks are some more professional these days, and I certainly subscribe to a lot of these and recommend a lot of these in order for you to get your name out there and get people to know what you're doing.
That's right.
And not only social networks, but networking programs. Get involved with a lot of networking programs, or whether it be breakfast networking, lunch networking, or evening networking. Some of these you can go to for free. A lot of them, they're just mostly free. Go introduce yourself, talk about the things that you're doing, talk about the things that you'd like to do. People love to help you.
That's
people
right.
love to help when you tell them that you're doing something and you need their help if you ask for it.
Right.
And going back to the social or professional networks, as I would call them, there are a couple of them that you probably need to focus on, and I will if you don't mind, I can name a few that I would certainly suggest, and depending on the type of business that you're in. First of all, I would suggest that LinkedIn would probably be one that you need to be on. Then there's PartnerUp.
I don't know that one. I have to go get on that one.
Yes, PartnerUp is another one that you probably need to get onto. And if you're in the business of working with, for instance, like I would say, setting up programs on setting up marketing events and setting up business showcases or even doing weddings and stuff like that, I would suggest Ryze, R-Y-Z-E.
R-Y-Z-E.
And these are networks where you can work with, you can be out there, put the event out there. You can also encourage people who are in the same type of hospitality or entertainment business that you're in. They would love to take your event and push it on to others.
Wow, amazing.
If you're in sales, if you want to be in sales, or if you do cosmetics, for instance, if you're selling cosmetics, a lot of people sell cosmetics and jewelry part-time. You want to go to Sales Spider.
Sales Spider, yes.
SalesSpider.com. You want to be a member of SalesSpider.com because that website will also link you to all kinds of opportunities and events that are taking place for that type of program, sales. The important thing is that you have to interact with people who are doing the type of things that you like to do and you enjoy, and that's where the customer is going to go to because they know that's where you are. And yes, and you need to, of course, go there and push that kind of stuff out there. Of course, there's the Twitter that everybody is doing these days. Twitter for business is also enormous. I mean, they're talking about Twitter is up to over 300 million users right now.
Wow.
You need to get there. I mean, you know,
that's
the thing
right.
is that, you know, Twitter about what you're doing. I mean, I Twitter all the time, and you know, Twitter on and on the things that I am doing, or if I'm going to do something, or if I did something, I Twitter about it. And one of the other things that I would suggest to is to put your profile out there. Make sure that your profile is not only on LinkedIn, but another one is Brightfuse. Brightfuse. You want to put your profile out there, because if you're especially if you're doing part-time work, if you're doing some of your business part-time and you need to get into a full-time job, if that's something that you want to do, Brightfuse is one of those that would link you to other job opportunities and other things that you would like to do. So make sure that in your profile you keep professional.
Yes, important.
You have to make sure that if you want to be perceived out there as a true legitimate business person, you have to keep a professional profile. There are too many people out there that I see that are friending each other, but they're friending with a photograph of something they took when they went to the beach. And
right,
if you're
and
going to do that, right, if you're going to do that, you're not going to be taken seriously.
Seriously, that's right.
So,
oh, Harlan, I tell you, time goes by so quickly when we're having fun. We only have 8 minutes remaining in this episode, and I'm going to ask you to kind of wrap up your thoughts, but I know I have to have you back because you have so much to offer the listeners. So, you know, I'm going to be having you back real soon. So we have 7 minutes remaining in this episode. Would you kind of just wrap up your thoughts, please, and summarize what you want to leave us with?
Well, I want to encourage small businesses and for those entrepreneurs who are thinking of getting into business to just go ahead and start, whether it be writing a book, whether it be starting their business part-time or full-time, just go ahead and do it. Make sure that you check the regulations for the city or state that you're working in to make sure that you're not in any violations. Make sure that you contact your local tax organization, your local tax office, to make sure that if you're going to go into business on your own, you have the right status of your business, whether it be a partnership, it's going to be a sole proprietorship, or if you're going to be a corporation or whatever. You have to make sure that you check in with the right authorities. Normally, your local Secretary of the State's office would have that information, or you can also go to your local community office or even your public library and get some of that information and get the correct information. Always talk to someone with some authority when you're setting up your business. Don't talk to, in terms of starting your business, your best authority is someone either in government or who has from the SBA or from SCORE. You need to make sure that you're getting the right information and not just information from someone who has tried something and failed. So so with that, I would say, and certainly, again, I can be contacted. I'd be happy to talk with anyone, or if they can send me an email, they can go to my website at sunbizshowcasealliance.com. And I'll be happy to to support anyone who has questions about starting or operating their business.
Well, Harlan, again, I want you to repeat your website and just give them the contact information again. And I just want to thank you for so eloquently passing on this information to my listeners and myself. So, again, just give your contact information again, Harlan.
Sure. It's Sunbiz Showcase Alliance. My name is Harlan, H-A-R-L-A-N-D. The last name is Henry, H-E-N-R-Y. And the website is www.sunbizshowcasealliance.com. My phone number is 239-243-9701. Call me anytime, email me anytime at harland@sunbizshowcasealliance.com.
Okay, thank you so much, Harlan, and I hope you can at least stick around for part of the other show, because we're going to be talking about meditation and all of that, and I just know the impact it can have on your life, so I hope you get an opportunity to just check it out. Again, my brother, I thank you for blessing my listeners this morning, and I pray you continued success, and I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure.
I'll be listening to your second segment. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Harlan. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For those of you out there, if you did not invite a friend to listen to this episode, you send them an email and let them know that they need to get that on demand, because that was some powerful information that Harlan just pass on to the listeners. And again, I thank him so much. And we are going to be moving directly into the second episode. My guest is already online. I want to remind the listeners that the telephone number to call in is 646-915-8166. And we'll take your questions as we go along. So, Devia, good morning,
yes.
And how are you?
Good morning, Daphne. I'm just fine, and so excited to be with you this morning, too.
I am super, super, super excited. I'm going to tell you what I told Harlan. I want you to get some water, and if you don't have some close to you, I'll continue speaking and give you time to get some water so that when we get in the conversation, you'll have the access to the water, because I heard you coughing a little, so I don't want you to get your throat all dry and everything. So get some water, my sister. So
yes, I have
we'll
water.
We keep you. Okay, wonderful. Well, welcome to the A New Day show, and I am just so excited to be having you on here. I know we were chatting last night into the wee hours, and here we are this morning, bright and bubbly. We are up, so I just want to thank you for blessing us. I want to just give you the opportunity, for those who don't yet know who you are, I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. But before you do that, I want to piggyback a little bit on something that Harlan mentioned.
Go ahead.
About social media. I have to tell the people that Diva and I, we have not met, but you are my friend on Facebook. And here you are this morning blessing the airwaves with your presence for people to hear. And I wanted to point that out to the listeners to say that what Harlan mentioned about being professional on the social medias that you're on is something to be taken seriously.
That's
because
true.
If we both did not appear professional to each other, we would not be in each other's company this morning. So
that's true.
If your profile is out there and it's not professional, we want you to clear it up before the end of today. So I just wanted to put that out there. Well, good morning and welcome. Would you please introduce yourself to those who don't yet know you?
Okay. My name is Devia. And I spell it D-E-V, V as in victory, Y-A, Devia. It is my spiritual name, given to me when I said to the spiritual teacher at the time, I don't know where I'm going, but I can't take Doris Richmond with me. Will you give me a new name? And that's how I got the name Devia. Isn't that lovely? I just woke up one morning.
It is precious.
I woke up one morning, yeah. And then, so I'm Devia of Devia and Associates, and I've been doing my work for the past 22 years. And I got to be doing the work in a very interesting way. You know, I was meditating, and I was meditating faithfully. And after each meditation session, I would say to the source, by the way, that's my word for God, Allah, Buddha, whatever you want to call it in what tradition you're in. I use the word the source because I teach people from every religious background. By the way, including people who don't have any religious background. So I had been asking the source to let me know what my life purpose was. Because I had become aware that everybody has a life purpose.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so I was asking. And then at the end of a silent meditation retreat, a 10-day silent retreat, I came home on a Friday, woke up on a Sunday morning, as usual, having to go to the bathroom, and I put one foot out of the bed. It's a low bed. And I was about to swing and put the other foot out when an unseen hand laid its hand on my chest and laid me right back down. Very gently but firmly. Okay. Now, I knew I was alone in this huge apartment here, so I wasn't afraid. I wasn't the least bit afraid. And also, you begin to lose fear when you start to meditate, okay? So.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you get a feeling of protection around you. So I didn't know what it was, but I surrendered. I literally surrendered. And at the point where my head hit the pillow, the urge to go to the bathroom left, and there was a stillness and a calmness in my body, a terrific calmness and stillness. And then the voice spoke, and it said, teach, what is meditation? Do one program for men and one for everyone else. And then it told me where to do the teaching, how much to charge for it, and where to get the original mailing list. Yeah, I was essentially put into business by the source in one sense.
Oh, my heavens.
Yes. Because I was, you should know at the time, I was a disability analyst with the state of New York. I analyzed your illness to see whether or not the state could give you money so that you wouldn't have to work anymore. All right. So when the source finished speaking, I was released. Just as I had been overtaken that quickly, I was released. And the urge to go to the bathroom came back, and so I got up and went into the bathroom and came out and said to nobody, because there was nobody in the house, what was that? And then, because I get up so early in the morning, I couldn't call anybody. I wake up at 5 and have to meditate. I couldn't call anybody at that hour, so I just proceeded with the way I normally do my day, which is to meditate and so on and so forth. And at the appropriate time, I called the person whose place I was told to use. It was a yoga
center.
Okay, so that's how I got launched. And, of course, I did what I had been told, and I started to teach what is meditation, to ask, to offer people, because I knew what it was and how it worked. And that's how I got started. And then I created a course of meditation to teach, which I called a Devia meditation course. And then, you know that statement about do one program for men and one for everyone else? The everyone else meant to segment the market. It was there that I learned. It took me a while to figure that out. It meant to pick up on those people who would more than likely need or want meditation. And guess who's in that group? Your group is in there, entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs.
They do exceptionally well with it. Yes.
You know, Divya, you remember that I sent an email out asking, I think on Twitter or something, I think I tweet asking for people to fill certain slots on my show.
Yes,
and this happened, and I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was laying there with my eyes closed, and then the Spirit said, you know, you need to send this tweet out to get some people. And you are the only person that replied to that tweet telling me that meditation helps entrepreneur.
Uh-huh.
Because I, you know, you've been on my friend list for a while.
Long time, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I never thought of that. So when you say spirit or source direct you what to do.
Yes.
This is fascinating.
Yes.
And everyone else, entrepreneur, comes under that group. And who needs it more than us? Because
absolutely,
we are so scattered, uncentered, off of focus, and we're always running to the wrong people, people who haven't done anything with their lives, to ask for their advice, when we can enter into meditation and get the clarity
mm-hmm.
that the Father has for us. So, go ahead, Devia.
One of the things that I have observed about entrepreneurs that makes them so easily, makes them gravitate and use meditation so well, is that they're very, very creative, okay? You have an
yes.
idea. You have something, and guess where ideas come from? They come from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who else? Well, where else are you getting them?
That's
so,
right.
The source has put this idea into your head, and you want to bring something that you feel is going to help humanity in some way,
mm-hmm.
shape, or form. And so
right.
you start to move towards that, forgetting where the first impetus came from, the incentive came from. Now,
mm-hmm.
once you
mm-hmm.
again reconnect to that original thought that you had and where it came from, and allow the source to and you to be co-creators,
mm-hmm.
you soar, you fly. Your business will take off.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have no real problems that you can't handle, because
that's right.
you're in alignment with the source, and meditation is what gives you that alignment. You will begin to get
that's
answers
right.
to questions that haven't even been asked yet. Okay, that's
exactly.
one of the things
exactly.
the meditators. Yeah, you see how you got that answer?
Mm-hmm.
Put it out. By the way, you got me on Facebook. You may have put it on Twitter
that's
as
right.
well, but. But you got me
that's
on
right.
Facebook. I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah, because my tweets go to my Facebook as well.
Okay.
That's why I only have to do it once. And, you know, people, I mean, the listeners that are listening right now and those who will listen later need to understand the power of stillness
mm-hmm.
and quietness, because it's in those times that we get the powerful revelation and messages. People need to stop being so busy and experiencing all these hectic things and keep going, and you miss your own self when you do that.
Yes.
We have to be still. And we can start with, you know, 10 minutes, and then we step it up. But
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of my clarity comes during my time of stillness and
that's
quietness.
Right.
So one of the things
I notice about entrepreneurs is that if they and I've taught a lot of them, when you learn to meditate, you and your business grow together. You
mm-hmm.
and the business will grow together. And that's a different concept from somebody who's just out there doing their work and focusing on earning the money. But you begin to grow, and that can only help you, because some of those traits that you have, that you've been carrying since childhood, begin to disappear. One of the things that I notice in entrepreneurs in some areas, not everywhere, but every now and then you come across one who is not at all friendly.
Mm.
Okay, I don't know how you think you're going to get any business if you're not friendly.
Mm.
So the
please,
personality,
child, tell me about it.
The personality, you see, and part of the reason you're not friendly is because you're stressed.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yes, you're very, very stressed, and so you start to be short with people. I went into a store in Brooklyn, to a store that shall be nameless forever, but it was a health food store. And I went in to get I went in to get a particular product, and I was with there with a fellow meditator, one of my associates, and it was a product that was told to me to get it because it's good, and I can't say anything more about it. But we went in, and we were virtually attacked. The entrepreneur, who's been in business a long time, was very, very annoyed because she's in a recession, and it was a Saturday, and we were the only two people. Now, we came in pre-sold on this product, mind you, pre-sold.
Well, that's why she should be happy you're there.
And she virtually attacked us. There's no other word for it.
She was hurting.
Yeah, she's very, very stressed. Yes. Now, it's a recession. We're all hurting a little bit, but that's no reason to attack total strangers who have come in pre-sold.
Into your business.
Yes.
Into your business. And I'm sure you both would spend more than $100 because ain't no product in that place that's cheap. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the store, but once it's a health food store, you know you're paying for what you get because the result is good.
Astounded, and the person that I was is, you know, sometimes people are put off a little bit by my energy. They don't understand what it is, I'll say, so they don't understand, so they're a little bit afraid because, so I understand that, and so I try to overcompensate, and I do smile and everything, but I'm aware that sometimes people don't know what it is, and they're afraid of it. But
they think it's hocus-pocus.
Yeah, but the person I was with is virtually unconditional love. And I'm accustomed to everybody just falling all over him and loving him just because of who he is, you know. He was like, how could this happen? So, it's very important to be friendly, and meditation is the key because this is how it works. It takes away your negative traits. It takes them away. Anger is the first thing to go. Your stress is the first thing to go, followed by your individual traits that are dysfunctional. That's what I call them. So that.
Devia, before we go into all the traits and everything, I want to ask you 20 plus years.
Yes.
I am sure what you're experiencing now and the receptiveness of people is. Way advanced than when you just started. What were some of the conflicts and challenges you encountered in the early beginnings?
The first thing was people didn't even know the word meditation. And in truth, I didn't know it either until I went to a How to Cope with Stress weekend somewhere. But I wasn't afraid of the word once I heard it. But I found that people were literally afraid of it. And that's because they had a lot of misconceptions about what it was. The second thing that was the biggest block was that some of the churches were actively speaking against meditation, and they were doing that because they didn't know what it was. Do you recall that the source told me to teach what is meditation?
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And so one of the things I did was to get myself into some of the biggest churches. And I've taught hundreds of people in some of the biggest churches, and I've done my work in some of the biggest churches. And that helped a lot. But now I see some ministers are actually incorporating a meditation session every
Yeah,
Sunday.
Because they are now enlightened and they're educated and they're informed about what it is. And, you know, it's a shame that a lot of the parishioners in these churches, they really don't go out and seek to find information. If their leader says, well, that's bad and that's the devil and that's new age and all the different labels that they put into it. They say, oh, no, well, pastor says, oh, no, I can't do that. And pastor said that, but have you done the research to inform yourself about what it is? If you are going to say no to something, at least be informed about what you're saying no to.
That's true. One time I was in such despair, and I had a group of my meditators around, and I said, what is the fear? What is the fear on the part of the reverends and the pastors and ministers? And one of the men blurted out, job security.
That's what I was going to tell you. I tell you that, you know, they are going to be enlightened, and they are going to be empowered, and they're going to move on. No, I can't
afford.
And
it's not so, because I have.
It is not so.
No, I have never taken anybody away from their church, and I've taught upwards of 10,000 people how to meditate, and I taught people who didn't have a church, and they found a church home after meditation because they feel that they want the community. They were estranged from their religion, and they go back to it, and they just.
That's right.
And by the way, the yoga scriptures say add meditation to religion and watch what happens.
That's right.
You have new respect for your religion. That's what happens.
Exactly.
You stop sleeping in church when the reverend is talking. You now have a teacher from the outside, the reverend, speaking, and you have the teacher within, which is what I develop.
That's right. I tell
people
all the time.
How can you tell when you have two people guiding you?
A lot of times I hear people complain about the message at church. And you know something? You went empty, and that's why you didn't get anything. Because if you go full, whatever is passed on there just enhance what you went with. So don't go look for the preacher to supply your need. You need to look to the Father to supply. So what you get in there is just like an icing on the cake. So
yes.
I'm glad you mentioned that. My next question, Devia, is how do we start? There are people listening who have no idea. Yes, we see the word meditation, and we have heard all the different things about meditation. How do we begin as entrepreneurs?
The first thing you must do is to establish a place where you can begin to commune with yourself and with God. A place, literally, and that place should have certain characteristics. It should be free of traffic. It should be free of drafts. You should have no clutter so that when you open your eyes from meditation, coming out of that peaceful state, that you will not look at chaos, which is what clutter is.
Mm-hmm.
Clutter is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And it will draw your nervous system, which is what you're calming down with meditation. So free of clutter, no drafts, and no people trotting back and forth. Try to keep the animals out of there.
Did you say no draft?
Yes, no draft.
You said, okay.
Yeah, like the wind blowing on you, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So and keep the animals out of there. They do not understand when you're in meditation that you are away.
Mm-hmm.
They think that something serious has happened, and they'll do their darndest to bring you back, okay? Licking, barking, all manner of things. I only know one woman who said she managed to get her full-size poodles to lie down on either side of her. I said they were protecting you from whatever they thought was going to happen to you. And they would just lay there for the length of time. But everybody else says they're animals, and especially the cats. So a place is most important. In that place, you're going to have a comfortable seat, unless you're going to learn to meditate in the cross-legged position. You should have a comfortable seat that has a back that will hold your back straight. And at the same time, you're going to put in that place what we call a puja, P-U-J-A. That's a Sanskrit word that's equivalent to our word in English, like an altar, but I don't like to use the word altar because it has specific characteristics of a religion. So I use the word puja, and that gives you the idea that you can make it whatever you want it to be. You put things on there that have meaning for you and you alone, okay? Don't let anybody else touch it. It can be on a table. It can be on the corner of a dresser. It can be a little table itself. It can be things that you keep in a box, whatever. When you are in meditation, that puja is going to be close by so you can see it. It's supposed to have the effect of drawing you to it to say, this is where I come to be with myself and God, okay? All right. I have a public puja and a private one. Because I counsel people in here. All right. So that's the way you start. And then I want you to sit in that place that you have created. And it can be a corner of your bedroom. You don't have to have a whole room for it. A corner of your bedroom. And you're going to sit there with your feet flat on the floor, arms resting lightly on your thighs. Not grabbing, just resting there. Because arms are heavy and you want to take them away, the stress of them away from you. And then just begin by counting from 1 to 10. And you're only going to count when you exhale. So you inhale, eyes closed and everything, exhale, and mentally, not out loud, mentally say one. Inhale, exhale, mentally say two. Inhale, exhale, three. You got it? All the way up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to
mm-hmm.
10, you're going to count backwards to one. You're counting only once, and you're counting when you breathe out. That. And then when you finish with those 20 breaths, you're just going to sit there for a while, just enjoying the feeling of peace that you'll have.
Mm-hmm.
And then get up, go about your day. That's the easiest beginning, beginning that you can have with it. And it works. It works. Now, if you get
Well, if you're doing it for 20-something years, you know it works.
Well, no, you're not going to do that for 20-something years, because I teach people how
to
do
that. No, I say you.
Oh,
no,
yes.
I said you.
Yes.
You
giving
are
it
doing
out.
It
yes.
for that. Yes.
Yes.
We
yes.
know. We know.
Thank
we
you.
Know it works. We know
Thank
it
you.
Works.
Yes. When I deal with school children, I teach them 1 to 5, 1 to 10, or something like that. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
10 breaths, mm-hmm. love it. It just calms you down. It just
mm-hmm.
literally calms you down. Yes, ma'am. Speak. What were you going to say?
But even people who are not meditation mentors or teachers, you know they always tell when people get upset, count to 10, count to 10, count
yes.
to 10.
Yes. That's where it came
you know?
From, by the way.
That's right. That's right.
That's where
that's
it came
right.
from.
That's right. That's right.
That's
right.
Exactly where it came from. But they do what they
now,
do. To tell you to do it when you exhale, not when you breathe in. Just yeah.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
But
amazing.
It is a time-honored
Every...
practice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. When you're
mm-hmm.
angry, yeah. So go ahead. What were you saying?
Yes, we talk about you know getting rid of anger and all of that stress. Are there any other health conditions? And I know we are not. Making any medical claims or anything, but well, let me rephrase the question. Other than stress and anger, what other ways are there that meditation enhances our lives?
Well, you literally need three abilities in order to meditate properly. You need to learn how to breathe properly, relaxation,
mm-hmm.
and concentration. Okay? The first one, the breathing properly, is one of those things that's going to influence your health. I teach 5 different breathing practices. Each one does something different for your brain, from your health, or this, that, or the other. 5 of them. Very, very easy to do, too, and fun. Now, the relaxation. You need to be able to learn to relax, to bring your body down from that state of stress and tension that you may have been carrying since childhood. And certainly as an entrepreneur. It is stressful. Anytime you're dealing with the general public, and if that's what your entrepreneurship involved, anytime you're dealing with people, you're going to take home a certain amount of stress every day. To say nothing of dealing with the vendors in your business. Vendors, they shorten your life because they don't send things on time, or they send it after you need it, or whatever.
Can't meet deadlines.
Yes. So there are a lot of stressors inherent in being an entrepreneur, depending upon whether you're working with people or whether you're working with things or whether you're doing it online. There's stress.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the 21st century. It's a stressful time.
And that's life. That's part of life. So you
it's
have
part
to
of life, yes.
manage it.
You're not going to escape it. You have to learn how to handle it. And that's what meditation
that's
does
right.
in spades. That's the first thing. You know, I teach mostly privately now, unless I get a group of people who want to learn, and then I'll do it. But one of the first things, when I used to have a group of at least 20 people at once, I would notice in the room who came to this course exceptionally stressed. And the second time the course met, you know, I told you what to do the first time, this, that, and the other. And the second time it met, I would say to the group, who looks least stressed? Who's the person who looks least stressed based on what you saw last week? And the whole group would know who it was. Because stress shows.
My Lord.
Yes, it shows.
Yes.
By
yes,
the way,
yes, yes.
It shows more on Caucasian than it does on people of color.
Mm.
Because the Caucasian will tend to speak it. They'll speak it. The personality will change. They'll say things they shouldn't say, do things they shouldn't do. And they'll let you know in no uncertain terms that they're stressed. Okay? The people of color, on the other hand, will take that stress in. They look, begin to look older than they are, and they begin to, how to say it, they hold it in. They'll get depressed. They'll be angry. Anger is a sign of depression, by the way. And they'll start
keep
in with,
the dog, everybody.
They'll get hypertension. They'll get heart arrhythmia. They'll start to get physical things because they've taken the stress in, and it's doing a toll on their body. Whereas the other group will just spill it out on everybody else. Now, which is healthier? Getting rid of it is healthier.
That's right. Regardless of who.
Yes, getting rid
of
it is
healthier.
I'm letting
it down.
So therefore, as an entrepreneur, you have to be the one that knows how to handle all of that stuff that's coming at you all day long.
That's right. That's right.
Because you won't get business again if you don't handle it properly.
That's right.
Because then
if
they think there's something wrong with you.
Your clients or customers.
Yes.
That's it. They are not coming back.
That's how you're going to handle. That's the very first thing you can do, which was the question you asked me. Okay?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you recommend or do you teach meditating with music?
No. I think that you can. I'm in a tradition that honors silent meditation, okay?
Okay.
Because if you have things that are distracting you on the outside, it will be very, very difficult for you to ever get close to the source, because you're waiting to get that guidance. You're waiting to hear words and things of that nature. You're waiting to get to that stillness which will allow you to get the guidance that you're looking for and seeking. Now, you can do what I call condition the room, like you air condition a place. You condition the air. You can condition the feeling in the room by playing music before.
Okay.
And then cut it off, and then after. Now, there are forms of meditation that use chanting and music as a way to get to the divine. Yes, that's a whole different form of meditation. But I think I know what you're asking is, should you use music as a background for your meditation? No.
Yeah, because different people teach different
yes,
things.
Yes, different ways. And chanting is one of them.
Because of your practice that focuses on silent meditation, then
and
that
on
would
the,
not
and,
be.
And, yes, and also on the sound. You're taught to develop an internal sound, and we use a universal mantra, which is a sound that you can bring up in any tone you want. Okay? I give you the tone when I teach it to you, but if you're a male, that tone may be a little bit too high for you, so you're going to pitch it as low as you can. So that's what you're listening for in the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach mantra meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, I do use music in my work. I play the gong as a sound of meditation.
Yes, and this what your statement you just made is my segue into asking you to explain the gong. What's the purpose of the gong? What does it do?
Oh, I love the gong. It was put into my hands a while back. And, you know, I majored in music, and I was born with a musical ability. I have perfect pitch. And I used to wonder, what did I get this thing? I don't know what to do with it, except I know when an orchestra's out of tune. I know when somebody's singing out of tune.
I look on yours, and I said, oh, my God. I have a tiny one, and I look on yours. I think you could get 100 of mine out of yours. I look on that and I say, oh, my God, look on the size of that gong. Yeah,
no,
so let's talk about the benefits and the advantage. In the picture, it looks huge.
Oh, I know. It's behind my head. That picture was taken in the Riverside Church. It's behind my head. That's why. Well,
oh,
anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and it was up close behind the head. That's a professional shot. Well,
all
first
right.
of all,
okay.
gong... It's vibrational healing is what it is when you're using the sound of the gong. It's vibrational. And so what it's going to do is that it goes in there, into your body. The vibrations go in, and it clears out at every level that which does not belong there. So we're talking about on the physical, it'll get rid of pain. Mm-hmm. On the emotional level, it will begin to change your negative emotions. I've had people come into the room saying they had a headache, and the headache vanishes because mm-hmm. pain is just block energy. And so it goes mm-hmm. in there, and it will try to get through where the blockage is. And if it can't, it will intensify for a moment, and then the pain is gone.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes back, then it means you need to see somebody for it next day. If you still have that kind of pain, it's serious. The emotional, mm-hmm. it will change the negative emotions. I've seen it do it almost instantly. More often, it's if you play the gong. I have a gong CD. If you play it over and over again, over and over, you'll find that you're feeling very, very good with no negative energy. Apparently, anger is the one that it goes through first, both in sitting
mm-hmm.
meditation and in listening to the gong. That's the first thing. And I always say that's because that does not align with God. That is not your true nature to be angry. That is not your
right.
true nature. So it goes to that first. So astounding.
I hope you sent one as a gift to that store owner. You should send it as an anonymous gift.
That's a very good idea. That's an
yeah.
excellent idea. I think I will do just that. Thank you for that. And but
yeah.
The gong, it works through vibrational energy. And
mm-hmm.
I play it using gong mallets, drum mallets of different sizes. Here's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because the music of the gong, and it is music, it's unique because you both hear it and you feel it at the same time. This is what it does. It goes right to your ego. So, and the sounds that you're hearing become so captivating that you can't listen and try to analyze or do anything with it. You just surrender. And in that surrendering is where it can go in and begin to change you. So you find it very easy to tap into your creativity when I'm doing the gong, or you can solve problems,
mm-hmm.
or you can change negative attitudes. It does everything that sitting in meditation does. It's just that it does it three times faster.
Faster.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it
Amazing.
Does it three times faster. And you don't have to learn anything. You don't have to learn to do anything, because simply listening is what makes the changes happen. Simply listening. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Just listening.
Listening. And you have
and course,
to be still to listen.
Yes, and it even fosters that, because when I do it in the room, people, they'll come in and they'll come from their jobs and they're restless, and from their work and they're restless, and they lay down. I insist that they lie down. And
mm-hmm.
the vibrations just go over them. You can feel the room get to a place of stillness and nothing flat, because they're gone. They've taken the attention from the outer world into that
mm-hmm.
inner world. And of course, my intention when I play the gong, and the intention of the gong master always comes through. My intention is to heal. Okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So it looks like
wonderful.
Magic, you know. It looks like
yeah,
magic.
But it's not. Yeah.
Well, meditation in
amazing.
General looks like magic, you know, but the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are reluctant and they don't embrace it, because of lack of knowledge about what it is and
what
and
it
what
actually
it
is. Yes. I'm thinking
yes,
it's
yes.
time, Daphne, maybe for me to start doing my What Is Meditation teleseminars again.
Yes.
Every time I think
yes,
there's enough
people
out there. Mm-hmm.
I think it is needed, you know,
because mm-hmm.
as entrepreneurs, we need to understand the importance of these things. And these things seem simple, but, you know.
Powerful in their effect.
It has
and
a
they
profound,
are.
Powerful impact on the result we get out of our business and all of
right.
that. So we need to harness who we are, and how do we invest in our success and our prosperity?
That's a very
it's,
good way of putting
it's,
it.
It's a list. Yeah, it's a list of things that we need to take total control and responsibility for in order to get the result we want, instead of going around and pointing fingers and this person is taking my client and that person is taking my client. How can you structure who you are to set
yes.
you apart from your competition?
You'll
and
be
these
guided.
Are some of the things.
Yeah,
yes.
You'll literally be guided.
because I know I was guided from just teaching the silent meditation, which I still do. But I was guided to that gong that made use of my musical talent and that brought people who come to hear the gong play, and then they're transformed. So that led me to doing meditation vacation weekend, where on the weekend I'll teach you how to play, how to meditate, and then I play the gong in the evening for you to help you to facilitate getting closer to the soul. I mean, it was just a, it's the most miraculous journey I've had in my life, and I am so happy. I am so
beautiful.
I love my work. I absolutely love it.
Oh, I was just going to say it's such a joy to listen to your dialogue, and I can feel the peace and the comfort that is coming out of you, and it's just a beautiful thing to listen to. And I'm sure it's an amazing place to be.
It is. It's wonderful.
When we want, we want to go back to meditation. What's the frequency, if any, that you stipulate to your students to meditate?
Once you learn to meditate, and when I teach you, I let you know that this is a lifetime practice, and you need to be doing it once a day. Now, the TM people, the Transcendental Meditation people, have people doing it twice a day. This is 21st century. People are busy. They have families.
Right.
They have this, that, and the other. Still only 24 hours in a day. I say once a day, at least 20 minutes. Now, are you going to start out at 20? No. You start out just like you said before. You start with maybe 7, 10. And then it works up little by little. And you'll do it very easily by setting a timer for, you know, like 11 minutes, and you don't move until the timer goes off. This is, but that's the frequency. You will find, now here's something very important. The source has been waiting patiently for you to come to this stage in your life where you want to make a closer connection to the source. Waiting patiently, okay? So that therefore, when you begin to do that, your intent in meditation is to get that connection. So that once you make that connection through meditating, learning to meditate, the source is exceptionally happy, and you will begin to see things happening very quickly because of it.
Flourishing.
Yes, very quickly. All right, now that's one thing that happens. Break that connection, and guess what happens? Can you guess?
You just reverse everything?
Yeah, life starts to get a little bit difficult. Not in really big things. I'm not talking about accidents or stuff like that. I'm talking about missing trains, missing buses. I'm talking about the day doesn't go so smoothly, and you're not quite sure why.
The person in the next cubicle start acting up again.
Yes, you have a little argument, and you're not the kind of person that has arguments, and people are fussing. All kinds of things that let you know that life was a heck of a lot easier when I was meditating. It takes. It doesn't take long for you to realize. It doesn't take long.
That's right.
Isn't that wonderful orchestration, though?
Oh,
and the
I'm
moment
you
go back to it, the moment you go back, everything smooths out again. So you, the intelligent mind says, you know, there's something to this meditation. I feel
that's
a whole lot better. Life goes a whole lot better. Let me just stick with this.
Yeah.
And then if
you
becomes,
know, you have.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No.
You have been doing this for 20 plus years, 25 or something
20,
years.
22, I think, 22.
22, yeah. And even that, it's still long. You know,
I've been meditating
some
long,
people
but I've been teaching.
Some of my listeners are probably not even 22 years old yet. So, you have trained, taught many students over the years. What are some of the success stories that you have gotten back from entrepreneurs about their practice of meditation?
Their creativity increases to their wonder and delight. They may start out deciding that they want to do this. This is what I want to do in my work. And then they end up doing something that's ever so slightly related to it, but very, very, very different. And that's because mm-hmm. they've listened to the guidance that they got. So their creativity expands. And mm-hmm. as a result, they do different things. I know Andrew Morrison is one of my, he's a motivational speaker. And
Small boot camp, business boot camp.
Yes,
I know him very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know him very well.
He came to me some 20-something years ago, and he was doing something entirely different. He was teaching people how to work on a computer.
That's right, internet mm-hmm. marketing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, internet nothing. He was teaching people how to work, how to use a computer.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my
heaven.
When
I met him, that's what he was doing. And he was working full-time for a major investment company. He's a very, very bright man. And
mm-hmm.
I needed someone to do a flyer, and someone said, you know, he does flyers in his spare time while the people are practicing whatever he told you to practice on the computer. And
mm-hmm.
he did a flyer for me, and it was about what is meditation. And so he called me to ask me, what is this about? What is this meditation?
Mm-hmm.
See, you have to ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
I called the class,
right,
and on the one, this is the first and last time it's ever happened, I called the class, people paid in advance, he was the only one that showed up. And I had rented
paid
this.
In advance?
Yes. That's the
wow.
fear. That's not uncommon. That's fear.
Yes, yes,
uh-huh.
So
I said, you know, I don't know what happened to these people. I said, but I can't keep this space that I rented for just one person. I said, will you allow me to teach you privately in my home? And he said, of course.
Mm.
And so he came, and
wow.
he got the private session for the class group session for the, you know, as a private student.
And knowing Andrew as I do, he was happy.
He was happy. And he snatched onto this like a duck hangs onto, no, not that's not a good analogy. He just wrapped himself around it.
Yeah, he just embraces it because I'm sure he is fully aware of where it took his career.
Oh, of course he is. Yes, yes, absolutely.
You know?
Okay, so he went from, and he does it by guidance. He listens to what he's
that's
being
right.
told, and he just does.
That's right.
All
that's
right.
right.
The
that's
second
right.
biggest success, and but you have to know that among the 10,000 people I've taught, everybody has a story. Everybody, but I'm bringing
I hear
up the
you
truth.
Saying. Only 10,000. You talking about 10,000 like you're talking about 20.
Yeah, somebody said to me the other day, you don't know how many people you reach. Those are concrete people that you spoke to.
That's
so
right. Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you reach when you're on the radio. You don't know what you're reaching
that's
to
right.
a song. You don't know what you're reaching to
right.
this, that, and the other. Your
mm-hmm.
home meditation call. You have no idea the reach mm-hmm. that you've had. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
the second one is a lawyer who came to me very, very stressed, referred
mm-hmm.
by at least three people. Okay, at
wow.
separate times. And then finally
mm-hmm.
one of them was making the obviously made the biggest impact, and he washed himself into
see.
The class.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He meditated. He took to it very, very easily. He had some resistance to some things, which I helped him with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
let's fast forward some time now, and he started to go on my silent retreats. He loves the silent
mm-hmm.
retreats because he was a civil rights lawyer, and he was talking like crazy in court.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, he gets a message from the source, a very long
mm-hmm.
message, almost a page mm-hmm. long message about what he
mm-hmm.
should do. And it laid out his work for the next 20 years.
My
well, he
God.
Was a, he, yes, he was a bit annoyed because it wasn't what he had in his mind. Yeah.
Oh, that has nothing to do with him. He's not in control.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought him in. And we I coached him, I counseled. And he didn't do what he was told, and so the opportunity passed. Next
My
thing
God.
I know, yes, oh yes. Next, if you don't do what you're told as fast as you can, forget it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, forget it. So next thing I know, he gets another piece of information from the source on another
mm.
silent retreat. And meanwhile, I've told him, I said, you can't do that. I said, if you're going to do that, then stop meditating, and because the source is always going to try to make your life better. I said, so
that's
just leave
right.
it alone. It's always going to work for that. I said, and your ego is in the way. I said, you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, Governor Patterson appoints him as a judge. since the source couldn't trust him to do the steps that he had to do in order to do this, that, and the other, he said, okay, we're going to bypass all this. And just so that's where he is
now.
Yeah,
just move him out of the way.
He's a Supreme Court judge.
Amazing.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Supreme
Court judge.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. And he still comes.
Oh,
he's on my last retreat.
Yeah. Devia, my God, my sister, time goes by so quickly. We only have 14 minutes. I think the next time we get together again for a conversation, I think we got to do two episodes. Because you got a lot to talk about, because I know we haven't even started peeling the onion way back yet, and
your questions are very good. That's what it's all about, your questions.
Oh, well, thank you very much, madame.
Yes.
I thank the source for that, because it's not about me. A lot of my listeners probably don't even know that I don't have peer questions that I send out to my guests, and Devia is here to affirm that.
That's true.
So when you mention about source supplying your need, I am one who knows that, and I can't wait to see when I am committed to meditation what the source is going to be doing for me, because right now the source is amazing, and I'm telling you, I'm one obedient cookie.
And you're only doing it through prayer, right?
That's right.
Wait till you add meditation to the prayer.
That's right. I'm telling you. So I can't wait. I'm just, I'm going to be talking with you to see how I can incorporate that into my life. So
it would be my pleasure.
I want you, we only have 13 minutes leave.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you to take this opportunity to please give your contact information out so people know how to get in. Then we're going to go back to wrapping up our conversation.
Okay. My website, which is in need of updating, so forgive me for that, is Devia, D-E-V as in victory, Y-A, Devia.com. Okay. My telephone number, I'm here in New York City, but I travel. I do travel.
That's hot. Have business, will travel.
That's right. You usually say have gong, will travel.
That's right.
They're pretty sharp. I usually say have gong, will travel. 212-749-8564. That's 749-8564. One more time. 749-8564.
Right, and it's 212. And later on.
Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook.
Go ahead.
I'm on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can find me as, if you want to add me as a friend.
That's right.
Devia. No, I'm on there as Devia Doris Richmond, just in case there was somebody from the later days. They wouldn't let me put the one name on there either.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So does that help?
Later on, you talk about looking for somebody for updating your website. I think I have somebody for you if you're interested. We can talk about that later on when we get off here.
Okay.
Because I'm talking to him about doing mine. It's a friend of mine's son, and he just graduated college and waiting to be employed.
Uh-huh.
And he does good work. So.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get into that later on. So we only have 11 minutes.
Okay.
What would you like to leave the listeners with? Let me ask you, when someone goes into training, how long do they need to be trained for?
My course is 8 hours, whether you do it on a meditation vacation weekend from a Friday to a Sunday, or whether you do it in a group that you have created for me, it's 2 hours each time, or whether you do it privately, in which you and I together schedule the time so that you're not going lockstep, you know? But it's 8 hours, how you do it.
Okay, so it's only 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And do they come to you, or you do it over the telephone?
So
we have listeners from all over the world on.
Yes,
so.
I have taught it over the phone, and it that goes along with my meditation home course study. So together we work with it.
Oh, you
will
have a home course. Okay.
Yeah. That's for people who are a distance from me.
All right. Okay.
And I work with that and the telephone with you. Yeah, so yeah,
okay.
I got you covered.
8 hours, 8 hours.
Yeah.
The sister got you covered, you know? And I'm asking Source right now, even before we, I do my meditation, I'm just asking Source right now to give me an opportunity to work personally with you, because I just feel that strong in my spirit, so.
Yes. Oh, it would be my pleasure.
We won't be surprised when that happens.
Now,
10 minutes. Please,
okay.
Please summarize your thoughts. What you want to leave us with?
Well, my work in this world, my mission is literally to teach, to discover who you are and teach you how to heal yourself at the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual levels. That's what meditation does. It works at all four levels.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that using meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So, in addition to that, there's a subset for that meditation. I recognize that we master life through relationships. So, what I do is that I teach you how to remove dysfunctional traits that's stifling your emotional maturity. And I have a whole range of programs that will do that. Systematic personal development, okay? All right.
Mm-hmm.
What I want for you is for you to accelerate your personal and your spiritual growth. Life should be, you're on a path of self-discovery to find out more about yourself, to create yourself, and to live that life of your own design. That's what we're about. You and the Source together will do just that. Let me help you. It would be my pleasure to help you. So
you still have 6 minutes.
So once I get, you allow me to work with you within that healing community that I've created, each one of you will be led to transform your life according to who you are and what you need to be very, very healthy and happy. You see, one of the biggest components of meditation, and people don't know it, is the health. If I can tell you that I am 75 years of age, and I am in perfect health. There's nothing wrong with me. There's no hypertension. There's no this. There's no that. There's nothing wrong with me. If I tell you that I came from a position of being very sick as a child and being very stressed as a young adult, if I can tell you that, to know that I'm in a place of perfect health, a doctor tells me, in order to maintain what you have, Devia, you only need to walk 30 minutes a day, every other day, and jump on your trampoline every other day. Get a trampoline and jump on it.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Because
amazing.
The breathing practices from the meditation have done that. They have created this state of health in me. I did what I was told when I was in training. I did everything that I was told. And I continue to listen and do what I'm told as fast as I can. I'm very obedient, and that's what the Source is looking for.
Yes.
Two things, that obedience and that consistency and that faith is one of the third things. It's an amazing journey.
Yes.
Take, reach your hand out, and I'll hold it, and I'll guide you until you tell me stop.
Yes. Oh, well, Devia, I thank you so much for blessing not only life, but the life of my listeners and
I hope so.
People who will come back onto the on-demand episode, and they will listen to this. And I look forward to the testimonies coming back from entrepreneurs and small business owners of what this episode has done for them.
Oh, will you let me know?
I just want to thank you. I certainly will do that.
Okay.
I will encourage people to call you when they have when you're on and to tell you that. And I just want to thank you again for the commitment that you have to entrepreneurs, small business owners, and on other professionals in making our lives a better life for us. I just want to thank you so much.
And thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, and I will be talking with you later on because I need to find out what I need to do what I need to do.
Yes.
So,
okay.
I'll be talking with you later on, my sister.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And, of course, I was listening to Devia, and she is the Gong Master and a meditation mentor. and she's from New York City. And hey, she's a true example to show you that social media works.
Yes.
I just want to I want to remind you that our guest on Saturday morning at 11 will be Mr. Dean Herbert. And
oh.
Dina is coming to you from Ohio, from the Ohio area. And Dina is another small business expert.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 23rd, we are having Mr. Willie Crawford on. And Willie is an ex-military gentleman who has just carved his way out into the internet world and making a lot of money, and he's coming on to share with us about how to do that for ourselves. On the 30th, we'll be having Kathy Holloway Hill, and Kathy is going to be speaking about designing your life. And then on the 26th, we are having Susan Walsh. She's coming on to speak about creating and sustaining a successful nonprofit. So those are just a few of the guests that I have lined up for you coming up in the few weeks. And you know what my focus is here, is to educate you, help you get empowered, and help you and keep you well informed. Because I know you have a destiny. You were created for a purpose. And I'm here to help you pursue whatever that purpose is. And if you're listening in the Connecticut area, Danbury, Brookfield, anywhere close to Faith Church, I want you to join my small group there at Faith Church. And this, my small group is In Pursuit of Purpose. So whether you have signed up or not, I want you to come on down. We start tonight at 7. So come on down there. It's a amazing small group. It will just help you to figure out what your calling and purpose is and how to harness it. I want to thank both my guests for today, Horn Henry and Devia. And they are just two important people in my life. And I know you both not getting rid of me so quickly. So know that I am here to stay. I love you both, and I pray for you continuous blessing and success. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying, so long for now. I appreciate you, and thank you for listening to the show. And remember to follow your destiny. Bye, everybody. I'll see you next time.
And the plan you had for me. grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this lady. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this lady. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I know. Strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Tried it. You should have tried half the show on and half the show off.
When I'm on, I already know at home that it drops it.
Yeah, but you're not. You're dropping it through a telephone pole community internet connection that you're connecting to, correct? Right. You're connecting to a community internet outside of your house, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Wireless.
About that.
Do you have wireless in your house?
No.
So you're connecting to either a community service or someone else's.
No, I'm not connecting to somebody else's.
So you're connecting to a community.
Maybe.
Now, wireless on this is no different than plugging it in. It's exactly the same speed.
But it's not wireless. Computer plugged in. The thing at home is not plugged into anything other than it picks up.
What is your computer plugged in at home?
Nothing.
Nothing, that's right. Community wireless. You see this right here?
Mm-hmm.
This right here is no different. Than this, working wireless through here. Same exact speed, same exact setup, nothing is different.
But the guy told me at the manufacturing company talk directly into the...
Absolutely not.
That's
this is just as fast as going through the plug.
It's not the speed, though.
Doesn't make any difference.
I don't know what he told me.
You ought to try it next time. Your computer can't tell the difference whether it's plugged in or running wireless.
But it was dropping. I don't know.
No, it was dropping because you're on a slow community connection. That's why it was dropping. This is not a community connection.
I know that.
You know, three gig, whatever the crazy speeds are and everything
right.
like that.
So, and then when I done, you take your battery and give me mine. What am I doing? I'll plug in, doing the printing. You plug me in? To the computer. To the